Two things. First of all, it's good to be back with you. It's always good to go on vacation, and I don't think anybody argue with that. For me, it's just not having schedules. I'm not good with schedules. I can't keep a schedule, and so when I don't have one, life is so good. I'll tell salmon stories another time, but I did pretty well. So that was good. More importantly, though, is Father Thomas, who was here last weekend for our mission appeal, asked me to extend to you his sincere thanks and his warmest greetings to all of you as he departed. I brought him up to Marathon City yesterday, and he's doing the mission appeal there at St. Mary's. But he wanted me to thank you for him, for all of your hospitality and your generosity. So it was good to have him here. He said this too was a time for him to rest. And so I did not see him much. He just stayed upstairs in the room and got his rest. So I'm happy for that for him. So we have this scholar of the law who's going to test Jesus. Can I just say at the outset, it is never a good endeavor to test God. We will always lose. And so did the scholar of the law. Now Jesus, our Lord, is not in competition with us. He is not here to tangle with us. We end up in competition with him, though, sometimes. But the question is about the law. The scholar of the law asked Jesus about the law, who is the lawgiver. I have a whole pile of books here. I have here the Catechism of the Catholic Church, a summary of what we believe. There's not so much law in here, but it's what we believe and what we must believe as Catholics. I have here a rather thin book that's issued to every newly ordained priest. It's called the Pagellum, and it has the rights and responsibilities and special faculties of the clergy. This has law in it. This is the Code of Canon Law. Not my favorite book. I'm glad we have canon law, but this book is too thick for this skull, which is too thick. I didn't do well in canon law, and so I drive our canon lawyers in our diocese crazy. You don't know this? No, I don't. Please help me. Why do we have this? Because for any ordered society, we have to have laws. And we have to abide by them, and when we don't abide by them, there has to be some sort of corrective measure, lest we fall into absolute chaos. Have you watched the news lately? That's where we're headed. This is not a homily and commentary on that. But it is a good demonstration of what happens when laws are shoved aside. We do devolve into chaos. Now, we have in the first reading Moses telling the people, if you would only heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law. In the first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, you have the book of Leviticus, which is the law, and then the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book, which is the second law. It's a reiteration in a lot of ways and completion of the first. And Moses says, keep the law. And yet, in our gospel, there seems to be a problem with that. I want to read to you from Leviticus chapter 21, the first three verses. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them that none of them shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his nearest kin, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, or his virgin sister. In other words, the priests, if they were to touch a dead body, would be defiled, and they were too, by instruction of God himself, not to do that. And here's the problem. Because in this story of the Good Samaritan, we have this man who fell victim to robbers. Now he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, which probably implies he's a Jew. He's a Jew. The robbers strip him of his clothes, they rob him, and they beat him to the point of almost death. They leave him for dead. He's going to die. So what happens? A priest comes by, walks on the other side of the road. Why? He's keeping the law. He knows Leviticus 21. Not that they had chapters and verses back then, but he knew that passage better than I know the code of canon law. He knew it. So he walked on the other side. He kept the law. The next one is a Levite. Who are the Levites? Well, this is the tribe of priests. So he too is a priest. He too passes by on the other side, keeping the law. But then a Samaritan. Interesting detail, because this man who's left for dead is probably a Jew, and the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They were enemies. He took the man and not just lightly cared for him. He took him in on his own animal, took him to a hotel, and stayed with him and cared for him, and then gave the innkeeper money and said, if you spend any more than this in caring for him, I'll pay it back. He did everything for this man. Were the priests right? No. It was deeply offensive to God. Like, well, wait a minute. Didn't he say, keep the law, and here's the law, don't touch a dead body? Yes. But here's what they and the Pharisees never got. When the rules and human need, and I want to stress need, not wishfulness, not personal desires, but when the rules and human need, when they come up against each other, and they do from time to time, human need always wins out. We are not made for the law. The law is made for us. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're caring for grandma, and grandma cannot go. She can't leave the house. It would endanger her very life. And let's say in this example that you're the only one who can care for her for whatever reason. Sunday comes, and you got to go to Mass. Why? It's the law. It's the law. The law of God. But if you leave grandma, you will endanger her. Should you go to Mass? No. It would be sinful for you to go to Mass. Why? Because when the rules and human need conflict, human need always, always trumps. But now here, in conclusion, who's my neighbor? Remember the question to justify himself? Who is my neighbor? It's actually a good question, though, if asked in the right context. Who is our neighbor? Our family? Sure. Our friends? You bet. Our next-door neighbors and proximate neighbors? Yes. But you know what one of the definitions for neighbor is in the dictionary? My fellow man. Everybody is my neighbor. Including, according to the example of the Samaritan, my enemies. That's where the rubber meets the road. Maybe your enemy is your next door neighbor. Maybe your enemy is in your own house. Maybe your enemy is somebody else a long distance away that you just cannot seem to stomach. What are we to do with them? To treat them the same way the Samaritan does, with mercy, compassion, and love. Now just imagine a world, if you would, where that happened. That's the world that God wants us to bring about. The Good Samaritan isn't somebody else. The Good Samaritan is you. So if you're wondering, who is it I should serve? It's Jesus. Who is he? You can recognize him. Just turn and look at the person next to you. That's Jesus.